One of the effects of the common market will be the reduction of cost of production through technological improvements and the increase in productivity. And I hope that in the course of time, perhaps not in many years, if this follow it in Latin America, not in many years, Latin America will be able to sell some industrial goods into the world markets, into the big industrial centers. But this process will require a liberal policy on the part of the big industrial centers. The more we export industrial products, and of course, more additional primary products to the big industrial centers, the more will be able Latin America to pay for additional imports, especially of all those goods whose production in Latin America will be rather costly. So that in this policy, in this liberal policy that I would like to see, there will be an inherent, implicit element of reciprocity with equal advantages to the two parties. As I said before, in order to fulfill the great goals of the alliance, the rate of industrialization has to be accelerated in Latin America. We will not be able to do this without land reform. Land reform is necessary not only for social reasons, but chiefly to facilitate the introduction of modern techniques in agriculture and release manpower for industrial development. You all know what is the situation generally in Latin America in this matter. I say generally with the risk of not representing every particular situation of every particular country. I'm aware of this risk of generalization. But I do not think that the picture that I will give is wrong, essentially wrong. The situation in land tenure is characterized by two extremes. On the one hand, very few hands having great proportion of the productive land, and in the other extreme, very great amount of small owners, petty farmers, having a relatively small proportion of the land. And in between, a rather large mass of landless people on the land. Land reform is one of the most important and urgent changes in the social pattern of Latin America. There is no better or more adequate symptom of this anachronistic constellation of economic and social forces still prevailing in many Latin American countries, that the very small amount of people that from the lower strata of society arrive to medium and high education. This means a tremendous obstacle to social mobility, to this dynamic factor of social mobility. and means a tremendous wastage of vital forces, of human abilities, potential human abilities, of human initiatives. We prayed very frequently in Latin America about all the advantages of the system of free initiative. And I agree fundamentally with this. But how it works? How it works in a society where only a very small fraction of it has access to medium and higher education, where larger masses of the population, due to this outdated social structure, cannot develop their powers of creation and of work. Many times recently, I asked to myself if the notorious shortcomings of the centralized system of decisions in the Soviet society have not been more than compensated by their system of education of the masses and promotion of the most capable men. And I wonder the enormous results that we could get in Latin America if we were able to reform, to transform radically our system of education, one of the clear objectives of the Alliance for Progress. Well, it's clear to you, I hope, that these changes in the social structure and the economic structure will tend to improve the present pattern of income distribution in Latin America that I am afraid in the last decade has not improved in favor of the masses. On the contrary, we have to attack the sources of disparity, the sources of great inequality, and the manifestations of great inequality. I have no doubts that high income groups in Latin America have an excessive and exaggerated consumption to the detriment of investment. We need more investment. And there is a source of investment, is a potential source of additional investment in Latin America. We have to use the tax system and other measures to deter consumption of the high income groups and to stimulate investment as part of this overall policy of development. But this will not correct immediately these inequalities, these appalling inequalities in the distribution of income. And here we have one of the most difficult problems of this policy. Indeed, in the capitalistic development of the advanced countries, first came the problem of accumulation of capital. And then, after that, came the problem of redistribution of income. While in Latin America, under the growing social pressure for development and social justice, we have the two problems simultaneously. So that in this matter, as well as in other matters, we have to find new formulas. We have to find formulas for accompany the process of redistribution in favor of the masses with investment by the masses, perhaps through some forms of industrial democracy. I said before that Latin America, in general, is able to increase investment through the compression of the consumption of high-income groups. But the needs for investment, for economic and social investment in Latin America, in the light of the high rate of increase of population, the needs are so enormous that it would not be sufficient to make this effort of additional investment through the compression of consumption of high-income groups. Then we here find the justification of the need of a greater amount of foreign cooperation than in the past, much greater than in the past. However, I have no doubts that we could go further than what I said before in this matter of investment. The experience of the Soviet system shows that it is possible not only to compress or to make it disappear the consumption of the high-income groups, but that it is possible to compress the consumption of the masses of the population or the increase in the consumption of the masses of the population. But the more energetic is this process of forced savings and accumulation, the more difficult will be to preserve democratic institutions in Latin America. This is the meaning, as I see it, of the policy of cooperation with Latin America. Is to avoid a process of investment that would be detrimental to the gradual improvement of the democratic process so badly needed in our countries. In other terms, I think that foreign cooperation, the meaning of foreign cooperation, is essentially a political meaning in the widest sense, is to help Latin America to make compatible democratic progress with economic development. Democracy in Latin America, generally, with a few exceptions, is void of economic and social content. And it is urgent to give this content to the democratic process. Very urgent. And to adapt democracy to our realities. If that is not done, and is not done without losing additional time, we may find ourselves in face of the horns of a dilemma between democracy and development. And I am afraid that under the pressure the increasing social pressure and the increasing social tensions of our countries, development considerations may prevail dangerously over political considerations. However, there are many forces, many active forces in Latin America opposing the idea of giving content, economic and social content, to democracy. Let us not mislead ourselves. The fact that Latin American governments have endorsed at Punta del Este the Alliance for Progress does not mean that we will see suddenly a very rapid process of land reform, tax reform, and other economic and social changes. There is such and such country in relation to which 2 years ago I would not have conceived that people in authority will start thinking in these reforms, or even will start projecting these reforms, although not always with great conviction or great determination. But anyhow, the process is starting. In other cases, ruling circles will oppose, will not accept these reforms. Then, as in our pattern of international life, we cannot impose reforms on others, there is no other way out to continue our work of persuasion and to wait until new social forces, new powers arrive to power. And this will happen sooner or later. And then, and only then, the opportunity will arrive of deploying largely, with boldness, the means of cooperation committed at the Alliance for Progress to help these new political forces to achieve in a courageous and orderly way this process of economic and social transformation. But resistances are not only internal. Resistance to change may also come from an exogenous origin.